Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And all the angels went, Yahoo! Every time you say, Praise the Lord, the angels are all on it. They're doing it. And so are we, because God is good. And we just sang about His glory. And everything in the kingdom, everything is possible in the glory. Amen. So, this morning we're going to be looking at the prayer of creation. So let's look at the overview. God has the faith to create whatever He desires with the word which He speaks. The creation account from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, describes God the Creator in the act of creation in conjunction with the person of the Holy Spirit, who was hovering with the anointing and the glory of God, and the spoken word, by whom the universe is upheld by the word of His power. Let the sound of heaven, coupled with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, release the power of creation. And that sound was God's word, let there be, and it was so. Wow. That was the prayer of creation. God had the faith to create whatever He desires with the word and with that anointing. And the same is true for us. The same is true for us. God is the creator of all things, and we are made in His image and likeness. God created all things by speaking 10 times. Let there be, and it was so. 10 times. So God created everything that we can see, and even things that we can't see. God created by speaking out 10 times. But the Spirit of God was hovering, and the Spirit and the glory and the anointing of God was present, and it was hovering. And God the Father, in His mind, in His imagination, He's like, this is what I see. And then the Son, the Word, said, yes, I see that too. And He spoke it out. And the Holy Spirit, the anointing and the glory of God that was there, when the Word hit that glory, boom. Let there be, and there was. All things that we know of were created. The matter of the universe, the matter of what we see on the earth, the matter of God's creation, the physical matter of what God created is what science is trying to measure. What science is trying to understand, and there are mysteries that scientists are still trying to unravel. But when you look at matter, matter is made up of molecules. And molecules are made up of elements. The periodic table that we learned in school, the periodic element, the elements, all of them are listed there. So let's say we have a sugar molecule. A sugar molecule is made up of carbon, it's made up of hydrogen, and it's made up of oxygen. Those are 3 elements. And for each element, you can break it down to atoms. And an atom, you've got your atom, and inside, there are electrons that are going around and around. And in the middle of that atom is the nucleus. And in that nucleus is the proton and the neutron. So everything is breaking down to its smallest point if you keep dividing and bringing it out to where you can see. So then you've got the, let's say we take the neutron, and now we can divide that. And when you divide that, what's inside the neutron? There's a proton and a neutron. A proton and a neutron. The neutron, you break it up, And then there is the photon and the phonon. So you have your photon, which are waves of light, and the phonon, which is sound waves. So within every atom, there's a light wave and a sound wave. And I was just thinking, this is just what I'm thinking about in my mind. The sound waves of God's creation, would that not be what the Word spoke? And it was. God said, let there be. And everything was created, and it captured a part of that sound. I'm just thinking out loud about that. But in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 3, it's talking about the Word. And the Word was made flesh, who is Jesus. So it's talking about the Word. And it says, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. So he's upholding all things by the word. And maybe that's part of that sound that's found in the atom. So God made us gods over this earth. When God created Adam and Eve, God created Adam and Eve, and he gave them authority and power over all the earth. But then Satan came and tempted, and then their dominion, their lordship over the earth was then transferred to Satan. And Satan became the god of this earth, the god of this world. And it says that in 2 Corinthians 4:4. And then Jesus came and he took it back. Jesus fulfilled the Adamic covenant without sin. And he took the keys of hell and death. He took Satan's power and he brought it with him, and he gave it to his disciples and to all who would believe in him. So that includes us. So now we have dominion over this world. We have dominion over the things of the earth. And when we use the name of Jesus, all things must bow its knee to Jesus, to that great name. Have you ever noticed that when you go into nature, into the raw form of God's creation, you go to the mountains, or you go to the beach, you go to where there's lots of plants. Have you noticed that you feel calmer? Everything seems to be more right with the world. You can feel more peace, and everything seems to kind of all that stress just kind of goes away. Maybe it's because creation, with that sound, is still praising God. It's still praising God. And you can't hear it with your ears, but creation is still resounding with praise. And the Bible talks about all these, let the waves are roaring, the stars are clapping their hands, the trees are praising the Lord. All of creation is rejoicing and praising God, but we can't hear it. And I wanted to read something to you that I found in one of the NASA websites. And this is talking about a black hole. In September 9th, 2003, astronomers using NASA's Chandra X-ray Observatory have found, for the first time, sound waves from a supermassive black hole. The NOAT is the deepest ever detected from any object in our universe. The tremendous amounts of energy carried by these sound waves may solve a long-standing problem in astrophysics. Earlier observations had revealed the prodigious amounts of light and heat created by black holes. Now we have detected their sound, too, says Andrew Fabian of the Institute of Astronomy in Cambridge, England, and the leader of the study. In musical terms, the pitch of the sound generated by the black hole translates into the note of B flat. But a human would have no chance of hearing this cosmic performance because the note is 57 octaves lower than middle C. For comparison, a typical piano contains only about 7 octaves. At a frequency over 1,000,000,000,000 times deeper than the limits of human hearing, this is the deepest note ever detected from an object in the universe. Creation is praising the Lord. Creation is emanating sound. Creation hears and obeys the voice of God's word. Creation responds. Creation is rejoicing in God, its creator. So we have been given authority and dominion over this world because Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, and he allocated it to us. God has stated that all believers are God's and children of the Most High God. In Psalm 82, verse 6, I have said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. And children should copy and imitate their parents, and we should be creators. So, let's take a look at some examples, even from the Old Testament. We have Elijah. Elijah called down fire. Elijah raised the dead. He commanded the weather. He brought a drought. And then he brought rain. And we, even now in ABC, there are people and groups of people that have called down rain when there was a drought. And then when there's a lots of rain, they said, we still need the rain. But we want to be dry. So they call the area around them to not rain while it might be raining a block away. Because they commanded the weather. They commanded what they wanted. They commanded what they saw in their minds, and the weather responded. People have called down brush fires so that they go out. They don't destroy people's homes. Jesus cursed the fig tree. And Jesus calmed the storm. And the disciples, they always marveled. They said, Lord, even that tree, the tree obeyed you. And then later, when he walked on the waves and he calmed the sea and the wind, they said, who is this that even the wind and the seas obey him? Creation responds. Creation responds. So, we have the faith of God. We create our blessed life by calling things into being and into the desired order. Hebrews 11, verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So we looked at Genesis 1, chapters 1, verse 1 through 3. And we saw that there was the Holy Spirit hovering. So that glory was there. The anointing of God was there. And there was the spoken word. Let there be. Now, this is what I'm thinking. You can't see with your natural eye. You cannot see anointing, and you cannot see sound waves. You can see the measurements of them, but the sound waves you don't see. So those are things that are unseen that created the things that are seen. So when we have the Word of God, whether it's from the Bible, or God spoke it to your heart or to your mind, maybe you saw a vision of something that the Holy Spirit put there. When you mix the Word of God with faith and you speak it out and the anointing is there, creative things happen. Creative things pop. They move. They respond. The elements respond. God has the faith to create whatever he desires with the word which he speaks. So, we talk a lot about Abraham. And I wanted to know, where is it that dynamic change happened when Abraham's name changed from Abram to Abraham? What was the turning point? I mean, we know it happened, and we know God said something, but what happened? Well, let's look at Genesis chapter 17, verse 5. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and you shall be," future tense, "you shall be a father of many nations. Neither shall your name any more be called Abram, but your name shall be," future, "your name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee," past tense. So that one sentence shows that God, of course, all that anointing and his word, and of course he has the faith to believe that what he says will come to pass. In that one sentence, Abraham was recreated from Abram to Abraham, a father of many nations. That was the dynamic turning point. So children of God should also be creative, creating their world with their words, coupled with the anointing. I think of the woman with the issue of blood. In the scripture, it says she kept saying, "If I touch his garment, I shall be made whole." She kept saying that over and over. And when she went through the crowd and came upon Jesus and she touched the hem of his garment, it says Jesus stopped, he turned around and he said, "Who touched me?" For he perceived that virtue had gone out from him. So there's the anointing. The anointing of the virtue that came out from him came to her who was speaking the word, and she was made whole. So you have the anointing with her words mixed with faith. Creative miracle. Jesus turned the water into wine. It went from this element, this combination of elements, into a different combination of elements. He turned the water into wine. There's a story of, in a book that Mel Torrey wrote, where the group had run out of communion wine. And so God told this woman to go take a bucket and go down, go here, go there, turn around, and there was a swamp. He said, take the water from the swamp. Well, that swamp water was stinky. It was horrible, slimy, ugly water. She's like, really, Lord? Yes. So she filled her bucket with that swamp water. Then she took it back and she prayed over that bucket of water. And she prayed for 4 hours. She was praying over that water. And at the end of 4 hours, it was sweet, sweet wine. God told her to do this. The anointing was present. She did it. She didn't hesitate. She went, and then she prayed over it, the word of God, and it changed. Jesus walked on the water. Peter walked on the water. Jesus was there. There was anointing. And when Peter stepped out, he stepped into that anointing. Jesus told him, come. And he did. And he walked on the water. And there's lots of stories about people walking on water now, especially when it has to do with crossing a river to get to a village that's separated from the rest, and they need the gospel. So the missionaries are able to walk over on the water to the other side. Or people were in danger because they were holding a Christian service, and people are there to kill them, and they're running, and they run across the top of the river to the other side to get away. That's pretty common. I've been hearing a lot about people walking on the water. I've been hearing a lot about people raising the dead. We've also, in the scriptures, we read about the bread that multiplied. Elijah, with his life, in his life, there was the bread that was multiplied. Jesus prayed over the loaves and the fish, and they multiplied. When we were in Africa and there was communion, they had a loaf of bread that went down every aisle, and the people there were hungry. They didn't eat dinner yet, and so these men were grabbing big chunks of bread as it was going down the aisle, and it was a long aisle, and everybody was taking bread, and when it got to the end, it wasn't a complete loaf, but it didn't look like it was torn into a whole lot. It was amazing. So that communion bread was there to provide for every person. It was multiplied. So we speak creative words. Abraham called things that be not until they came into being. So after God changed his name, every time he said his name, every time other people said his name, they were affirming father of many nations, because that's what the word Abraham means. So they were calling him father of many nations. And that went on for a long time. And also, on the other side, Hebrews, after they were in the desert, they were in the wilderness. They created their destiny by declaring 10 times, oh, that the Lord would just kill us now. And God was upset. And after the 10th time, he said, okay, you got what you said. But if you really think about it, how many Hebrews were there? At least 1 million. So 1 million times 10? That's a lot of affirmations. And God said, okay, you have what you say. So we do. We get what we say. So because we get what we say, we want to prophesy and declare our desires. Mark 11:24. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So we prophesy our desires into being. The Apostle Paul, we don't normally think of it this way, but he actually caused blindness. He was ministering to someone, trying to convey the gospel, but this person's assistant kept interrupting and trying to tell the guy, no, don't believe that. And Paul was getting a little bit, you know, hey, can you like leave the room? But he was still there interrupting. And I believe that Paul got a flash of a vision of this assistant blind. And so Paul immediately acted on what the word said to him in his mind. And he said, you're blind for a season. And the man had to grope his way through to get away and to go away. And Paul was able to minister to that man. Paul raised the dead. And also, the anointing was so heavy with him that his garments, they would bring handkerchiefs, they would bring something to place upon him so that anointing would transfer into the cloth. And then they would take that cloth and lay it on the sick. And then when they commanded the sick to be made whole, that anointing was activated and the people that were sick became well. And you know, even in ABC, we've done that too. There was a man who was backsliding, and his wife was at our meetings, and so she brought one of his shirts. And so we prayed over it with the anointing on it. She took it back home. Later, we got the praise report that this man, when he put on that shirt, it suddenly became his favorite shirt. And he didn't want to take it off. He wore it all a lot. And eventually he did come out of his backsliding ways. But the anointing that was on that, I'm convinced, was convicting him of sin. So that he knew what he's doing wasn't right. He needs to come back to the Lord. The anointing working on him. And so that's a really wonderful way to minister to people. There was a conference where there were several people that were crippled, and the speaker had words of knowledge and spoke it out. The anointing was present and said, rise up and walk. And so there were people that got up out of their wheelchairs and they were walking. But unfortunately, there was one man who left early. He was crippled in one leg. His wife drove them back to the hotel. And while she was inside getting the key, someone jumped in and stole the car with him in it. Then they pushed him out of the moving car. His crippled leg, was caught in the seatbelt. And it actually ripped his leg off. They took him to the hospital, and they had the leg with them. The doctors were trying to reattach his leg. Well, someone from that meeting had taken a Kleenex from the box in that conference. They took the Kleenex and they brought it to the hospital. They laid it on the man's leg. And they said, in the name of Jesus, be reattached. Whole, complete. In about 5 hours, the man started wiggling. No, in 5 hours, he felt electricity going through his leg. 3 days later, he was moving his toes. And in a week, they sent him home, and he was walking. So the anointing was present even in the Kleenex. So when you have the anointing of God and you speak out words with faith, creative things happen. It's marvelous. So we need to take the limits off of our prayers. And when we do that, we're going to have even greater things. Jesus said that you'll do these things and greater. The things that he did will do greater things. The Spirit of God, the anointing, is in us. The Spirit of God is upon us. The anointing of God, the glory of God, is all around us. And when we speak God's word, whether it's from the Bible or a vision he gives you or a word of knowledge or something, then we act on it, things happen. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, the Amplified Version. Now to him who, by the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above, all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. The Holy Spirit confirms the word with signs following. Mark 16, verse 20. So when you're out there, when you're at the supermarket, when you're driving, when you're at the bank, and you get that inclination, pray for that person. Don't talk yourself out of it. Don't say, oh, well, you know, I think I'll wait till it's a little more convenient. No, act on it. You'll be surprised what happens. And eventually, as you continue to practice, it won't be a surprise anymore. It'll be an expectation. It'll be a confident expectation that when you pray for someone, things will happen. So, I just wanted to kind of come back to this understanding of the creation with the sound waves, with molecules. So this is what I am thinking about. I just want to be sure you understand that. But if you take a look here, it should be kind of small for you, but there's four dots. You can see it because they're close together. You can see all four of them at the same time. But what if I took this dot, this dot, this dot, and this dot to a football stadium? And I placed them in different parts, way far away. You wouldn't be able to see them. They're too small. They're far apart. You can't see all four at the same time. It's like, I can't see it. Where'd it go? So if you think about molecules and atoms, how small they are, that when they're far apart, you can't see them, but when you call them close, they come together. So let's say that, just for example, let's say you're experiencing hair loss. Well, Perhaps you lost your hair years ago. And that hair, you don't know where that hair is. It's probably broken down. You don't know. The wind took it somewhere. But then what if you called it with the anointing of God? You've built the anointing. And you call the molecules or the atoms of that hair. You call it forth. And you say, be reassembled in my scalp. If you're in the glory of God, that anointing of God, who's to say that's not going to happen? Or what about your gums? The dentist said that that someone's gums are receding. You're going to say, oh, let me call those for you. In Jesus' name, gum molecules, be reassembled in this person's mouth. Boom. That anointing and the word of God, if God put that into your mind and into your spirit at that time, and that anointing is there, who's to say? Why not? Bring those molecules back. Let them be reassembled in someone's mouth. What about cartilage? In Jesus' name, cartilage, be reassembled in my knee. Or in my hip, or wherever you need it. So that's bringing those molecules together. But what if they're together and you want them separated somehow? Well, let's think about it. We're thinking over and above, so what about fat cells? Here's a fat cell, and if you command your fat cells to be stretched from the east to the west, they're going to come down and they're going to be stretched like this. So you can't see the fat cell anymore. It's flat. Now the membrane might still be there, but you can't see what's there. So people, I know that people have lost like 3 dress sizes at different conferences where they've commanded fat cells to be stretched. It's like their clothes just went, you know, their clothes fell off. It's like, so I remember, I'm just thinking, we have creativity. Don't put the limits here. But again, you don't want to limit God, but you don't want to go out of the confines of the Bible, because the Bible is really your guideline. That's your guideline. But God's creative, and he's given us his thoughts. He's given us his understandings. So if you're somewhere and the Lord puts that in your mind, why not? So we create our blessed world by speaking it into existence and filling it with the blessings which Jesus purchased for you, as an artist fills in a painting. So I remember when we were at the Believer's Miracle Service, and our assignment was to be there early and to pray for the meeting and to bring in the glory of God and to the anointing of God and to prepare the place for miracles. So I said, okay, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to paint this room? And he gave me thoughts. He said, okay, put fire over on that wall right there. So I'm like, okay, fire in the name of Jesus, filling this wall. And then, okay, now rivers of living water coming this way. Okay, rivers of living water flowing down there. And he just kept giving me all these different thoughts and things. And I went to the altar line, and I just imagined my finger like a flamethrower. And I stood here, and here's the line. I just went, and I imagined the fire going straight up like a wall, like this, so that when the people are being prayed for, they're standing in the glory of God. And I thought, oh, that's wonderful, God. You're so good. And all these different things, and angels, and this and that, And so then, of course, I'm thinking, okay, this is wonderful. The glory and the anointing is really strong. I can sense it even. And so the service went really well. Everybody's excited and people are healed and et cetera, et cetera. And then afterwards, there's a woman that can see in the spirit, and we're asking her, well, what did you see? And she starts describing all these things. And I'm saying, yes! And I said, but what about the altar line? What did you see there? Oh, I saw this wall of fire standing straight up where the people are being prayed. I'm like, yes! I was so excited because we can use our imagination that it's godly, and with the anointing, and when we're speaking it out, we're just like God's, we're his children. We're designed to be creative like that. So that is just one other way that we get to imitate God our Father. So to prepare the preparation of creation, we create the atmosphere for miracles. So we confess our sins and establish the kingdom of God regularly. 1 John 1:9 and Romans 14:17. The things that we learned in healing school and in School of Dominion and graduate school, all these different things that we have been exposed to and that we've been practicing, these are things that we are using and doing to build up the anointing. Because when the Spirit of God is hovering and the Word of the Lord comes to you, or you have it in the Bible, then creative miracles will happen. When God quickens your spirit with something, don't analyze it. Act on it. And is that not what Peter did when he was walking on the water? He started looking at the waves. And he's like, this isn't supposed to be happening. So the molecules of the water had been condensed so that everywhere he had put his foot, it held him up. But then when he started analyzing it, he started to become afraid, and he's like, I don't think this is supposed to work this way, and he started to sink, and Jesus had to help him back into the boat. So act on what God gives you immediately. Peter's the only one I know of the disciples that actually walked on the water. He did it because he went out there. He responded immediately when Jesus said, come. He didn't analyze it at first, and he saw the miracle of God. So we pray in tongues. We say our prayers. We affirm the word. We kneel. We raise our hands. We sing. We fast. We take communion. All these things are designed that God has given us to build up the anointing of God. And we practice the presence of God by remaining in this now moment. God said, I am who I am. He's the great I am. And so we need to be in the now moment, in the now presence with God. So we're not looking back. We're not looking forward. We're not anticipating. We're in this moment, and we're in tune and in unity with the Spirit of God, so that when God quickens something to you, you're already receiving and hearing and knowing, and you can act on what the Spirit is saying. And remove the hindrances of fear, which is torment, and remove unforgiveness, because unforgiveness blocks your prayers. So we want to be this conduit that the Holy Spirit can use to bring glory to God by doing these creative miracles, the prayer of creation. So the things that we see were created by things that were unseen. The anointing of God and the Word of God. So what is it that you need in your life? What is it that needs to have a creative miracle? Maybe it's someone that you know, a loved one. We need to continue to practice the things that we've been learning. We need to practice dominion and authority. We need to step out in faith. And we need to do it when the Spirit of God says to move. Boom. So we praise the Lord along with creation, with the sound waves that are going out, even with that big black hole in the middle of space with the B flat note. We praise the Lord. We praise Him, we praise Him, we praise Him. Because He's a great God. Amen.
Thank you, Deborah. That was inspirational. Does that give you any ideas of creativity? You understand now why I said in the introduction, if you feel creative, be prepared to be creative. But if you don't think you're creative, pay attention, because God wants every one of us to be creative. And she gave us some wonderful ideas of how to apply principles and examples from the Bible and some modern day testimonies of people who have taken the limits off. They've taken the lid off the box and let God out and said, yes, we're ready to do this God's way. Especially in these ending days, this is how we need to live. Authority and dominion and commanding. So practice. If you haven't been, start one step at a time. Get started, because it's what we're going to need to do. It's what God expects of us. It's what He's given us the ability to do. So, as Nike says, just do it. Well, I tell you, they came up with a good saying because we quote them a few times, but they've got the right idea. Just do it. Don't be hearers of the word only and think, oh, gee, that's a really nice idea. Gee, I wish I could. Da 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 da. No. Just do it. We here at ABC are hearers, right? We're hearing the word, we're paying attention, and we put it down deep on the inside of us. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and we put this into action. Faith action plans. That's what we need to live by. Putting the word of God to work. Living by the word of God. Thinking the word of God. Speaking the word of God. Acting on the word of God. We're children of the Most High God. That's what He wants from us. That's what He sees us doing. So, amen. Let's do it. Let's put a big smile on Abba Daddy's face. And he goes, those are my kids. Yes. Hallelujah. So, let's take this time now to go to the table to partake of communion. We honor our God through communion, through recognizing the sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf, and as He asks us to do, remembering what it was He did for us and how we can receive it and put it into practice in our lives. So let's take a moment to confess sins, and then we shall proceed. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, He took the bread. He blessed it. And blessing means empowering to prosper. So He blessed it. He empowered it to prosper in the thing whereto He sent it. Breaking it as His body was broken for us. Oh, Lord, we just thank you and praise you that you took upon yourself those 39 stripes, that terrible torture, that terrible pain you must have gone through, taking every sickness, disease, infirmity, and pain for all who would receive. Well, Lord, we say, yes, Lord, we receive. We know that you took from us all the negative stuff, all the sickness, disease, infirmity, and pain. We, in turn, receive from you all health and healing and wholeness and restoration and rejuvenation. That's what belongs to us now. And so here's our faith action plan in communion. We hold in our hands the broken body of Jesus. That's what the Word of God says. And we take this and we partake of it, put it in our bodies, and we exchange it for the health and healing and wholeness that belongs to us, that Jesus has already paid for, that he says belongs to us. We are the children of God. We are the healed of the Lord, and we need to say so. So let's say so right now. As we partake of the broken body of Jesus, let's say it together. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And now let's make it very personal. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Let's receive together now and expect that great exchange. In the same manner, after the supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." New covenant, washed new. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. The blood of Jesus has washed away all of our sins and made us righteous in right standing with Abba Daddy. How awesome is that? But he didn't stop there. His pure, holy, powerful blood also sealed the old covenant, which was a good covenant. But then he established with his blood the new, better, and everlasting covenant. And all these promises and all these tools and weapons of the Word of God belong to us because Jesus is in us and we are in him. And what is his is ours, for we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. It belongs to us. He wants us to have it. He wants us to take it. He wants us to use it. He wants us to walk in it. That's what he wants us to remember. Go and do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We receive of your precious, promise-giving, life-giving blood. And we disseminate it to every part of our beings, every cell of our bodies, every fiber of our being, every organ, every system, every function, to our heads and brains all the way down to the tips of our toes and the soles of our feet. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you have done for us. Thank you for loving us so very much. We love you because you first loved us, but we do love you, Lord, and we thank you as we now partake together.